This is Dr. Cassieri from Andersonville Baptist Seminary as we continue our study in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. This is lesson number 4. And we want to pick up as we're following along on our outline. We're under Roman numeral number 4, the names of the Holy Spirit. And in particular, point number D, names which show his relationship to men. And that's where we're going to begin in lesson number 4. The first one we see listed there now is the spirit of burning. Look it with me in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 4, the prophet Isaiah, chapter number 4, in verse number 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Amen. The spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Now, the spirit of burning and the spirit of judgment, of course, are names of the Holy Spirit in relation to men. And, of course, what we have before us is a reference to the second coming of Christ. Amen. Alrighty, the next name of the Holy Spirit we want to look at as it relates to man is the Spirit of Promise. The Spirit of Promise. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. And of course, in whom, the whom mentioning here is the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit, amen. The Holy Spirit of Promise. The Spirit of Promise is another name for the Holy Spirit, and as it relates to man, amen. We were sealed the instant an individual trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. By the Spirit of God, we know that we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, what's interesting, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we have the order of a person's salvation. Just as a side note, it says, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. And of course, the first thing is you have to hear the gospel, the word of truth, amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So first you hear the gospel. And then it says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you hear the truth, you hear the word of God preached, you hear the gospel of our salvation, and then you trust in it, what you've heard. In whom also that ye believed, you believe, amen. And then, of course, lastly, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You hear, you trust, you believe, and then you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Also, we see another name for the Holy Spirit as it relates to man and his relationship to men is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. And we find it used in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14 with me now. John chapter 14, verse number 17. And Jesus, of course, is speaking in the passage, in the verse, even the Spirit of Truth, There it is. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of truth. Amen. And of course, our society today, our world system today, is not following the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's following another spirit, an unholy spirit. Amen. That's why we're in such a mess we're in. Amen. Also in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26. The Bible says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." He shall testify of me. And again, we see the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, and we'll look at that in just a moment, and the Spirit of truth. I'm going to give you a couple of other verses that reference, that use the Spirit of truth to refer to the Holy Spirit. That would be in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, in the Gospel of John, verse 13, and also in the first epistle of John, 1 John, 1 John, chapter 5, verse number 6. So that's John, the Gospel of John, 16, verse 13, the first epistle of John, in chapter 5, and verse 6. Alrighty, another name for the Holy Spirit that's used in its relationship, which shows his relationship to men, is in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, in verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life. Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. My, what a great blessing it is when someone gets saved. That Spirit of life. You know, Jesus said, when I come, you're not only going to have life, but life more abundant, amen. And we see that, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free, Paul said, from the law of sin and death. Everyone before they're saved is dead in their trespasses and sin and on their way to hell. But praise God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, amen. The Spirit of life. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Also, we see the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 with me in verse number 29. Hebrews 10 verse 29. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an holy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. And of course, that's how the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, that a person is saved by, for in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And praise God that you and I do not have to trust in our good works to get us to heaven, because all of us come short of the glory of God, amen. Here's a particular name that I praise the Lord for, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of glory. And that's what's facing each and every Christian. Our future is glory, glory, amen. glory in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints of God for all eternity. Amen. And we see that used in 1 Peter chapter 4, if you'll turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 13 and 14. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Amen. Amen for that. When we suffer for Christ, he is glorified. Amen. For the cause of Christ. And as we go along, we see then as believers, we know that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you think about it, as we look at these names of the Holy Spirit in relation to men, this is what we have dwelling inside of us. The Spirit of promise, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of glory. All of these are dwelling. The Spirit is dwelling in you and I right now as believers, praise God. Also, we see that the Holy Spirit is referred to also as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom in revelation in the knowledge of him. So right now you and I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, amen, dwelling inside of us right now. That's why you and I, as we pick up the word of God, can gain knowledge in the things of God. Because who's teaching us? Who's showing us what the scriptures have to say? It's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. An unsaved man, woman, boy, or girl does not have that spirit. So when they pick up the Bible, it doesn't make any sense to them. Because they do not have the Spirit of God in them, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. We have the wisdom from above in this book, in the Bible, amen. Praise God for that. Here's another one of my favorites. The Comforter. The Comforter. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Comforter. Look at in John chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14, verse 26. The Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. See, that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, amen. To be a comforter to you and I. Praise God, you and I do not have to get our comfort from the world and the things of the world, my dear friend, but from the Holy Ghost, the great comforter. I think of that word, I know during the winter time, it gets very cold and we put on our beds what's called a comforter that keeps us warm and comfortable, amen. And of course, warmth brings comfort. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It comforts us. It surrounds us. It's in us to comfort us. So when times of sorrow, in times of difficulty and hardship. Amen. We have that comfort inside of us. All we need is to access it. Because that's what Jesus said, that he would send the Comforter if he went away, to comfort us. Praise God for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Also, we see that another name or of the Holy Spirit, which describes its relationship to men, is the Spirit of Adoption. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. See, before a person was saved, they had the spirit of bondage. They were in bondage to sin, bondage to their fears. Amen. In fact, just to share a little bit of testimony, before I got saved, I really had a great fear of death. I didn't know where I was going. Amen. In fact, at times anxiety overwhelmed me because of that. But since the Lord Jesus Christ has come into my heart, I no longer have that spirit of bondage or fear, because I know that I'm heaven bound, because I've asked Jesus Christ to forgive me for my sins, and I'm trusting in only his shed blood to save me. So now I know that I'm adopted. I have that spirit of adoption. I know that God has adopted me into his family, because the Holy Spirit tells me I'm an adopted child of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for that spirit of adoption. And of course, another name of the, given to the Holy Spirit as it relates to man is the Spirit of Holiness. The Spirit of Holiness in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And of course, that makes sense. As if God's holy, then his Spirit must be holy. Amen. So that's how you and I are capable to be holy. Not because of anything that we can do, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Holiness in us, to live a holy life. Amen. And God commands us to be holy. He says, I'm holy, be ye holy because I am holy. Amen. And then last, under names which show his relationship to men, we have the Spirit of Faith. It is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the Spirit of Faith. I think, just as a little bit of help as we go through the outlines, just as a bit of suggestion, you may want to jot down the references by each point as we cover, amen, and then you can go back and revisit those references again, and maybe the Holy Spirit of God will share something to you that he didn't share to me. That's what's marvelous about studying the Bible, amen. There's just layers and layers of it, amen. All right, now we want to move on to Roman numeral 5. We've just completed Roman numeral 4, the names of the Holy Spirit. We saw names which are self-descriptive, names which show his relationship to God the Father, names which show his relationship to Jesus Christ, and names which show his relationship to men. Now we want to move on to Roman numeral 5 and look at some emblems of the Holy Spirit. Emblems of the Holy Spirit. And the first one listed there is the dove. The dove. And of course we see that we see the dove, that the Holy Spirit is likened unto a dove at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 3. And in Matthew 3 and verse 16 with me. Matthew 3 verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And of course, when we think of the dove, amen, when we think of the dove, it typifies peace. It typifies peace. In fact, if we, let's go over to Genesis chapter 8, to the account we know in Genesis 8 where Noah released a dove from the ark. Genesis chapter 8, verse 8 through 11. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And just as a side note, it says, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. We see that it was a universal flood. Some will try to teach that it was a local flood, amen, but the Word of God says, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth, showing that the flood of Noah's day was a universal flood. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf, plucketh off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And what this showed Noah was that the demonstration of the wrath of God against sin had ended, and that the earth and Noah's family were at peace with God. In fact, often today, if you pick up a newspaper or a magazine, news magazine, and the idea of peace wants to be that it's often drawn, say, in a political cartoon, you often see a dove with an olive branch in its mouth to show or typify peace. Also, the dove typifies purity. In the Song of Solomon, in chapter number 6, in verse 9, the Bible says, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. And of course, here the dove is pictured as the undefiled Bride of Christ. But so we see then that the dove is an emblem of the Holy Spirit, which typifies the peace that the Holy Spirit brings and the purity, amen. We know that our spirit is born again when the Spirit of God comes into us, amen, and our spirit is no longer dead in trespasses and sin. And we put on the purity of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, amen. And he takes our unrighteousness and puts it on himself, amen. The next emblem we want to look at is water. Water. Look at in John chapter 7, the Gospel of John. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, in verses 38 to 39, Bible says, and Jesus is speaking here in 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So here we see Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit that was to come, and he uses water to describe it as an emblem for the Holy Spirit. Now, we want to look at some things about water. First of all, we know that water sustains life. Water sustains life, does it not? Amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 44 with me. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44, verse number 3. "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thy offspring." Look at in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4 and verse 14. Jesus said to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, he says in John 4 verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Without water there can be no life. And of course, I'm talking about physical water. Man can live for 30 to 40 days without food, but only 3 or 4 days without water. In fact, our bodies are about 2/3 water. Water covers 3/4 of the surface of the earth. It was from the waters that God brought forth the first living creatures upon the earth, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And of course, without the Holy Spirit, we say water sustains life. We cannot have eternal life, amen. Our spirits cannot be born again, cannot be regenerated without the Holy Spirit, amen. The next thing we want to see characteristic about water as we relate it to the Holy Spirit, water refreshes. Water refreshes. Look at in Psalm chapter 46, Psalm 46 with me. In Psalm 46, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High." And again, the idea is it's going to refresh. Amen. Look at with me also in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 17 through 18. "When the poor and the needy seek water, there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water." And again, we see the idea is that water refreshes. Amen. And in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 14, the Lord Jesus Christ is tired and thirsty. and asks for a drink of water to refresh himself. He then offers the woman of Samaria living water, and he tells her that if she drinks of this water, she will never thirst again. My dear friend, if you've never come to the water of life, I pray that you will. Because you're just going to continue to thirst and thirst and thirst. And in some day, amen, without the Lord Jesus Christ and never trusting him as your Savior, your thirst will go on for eternity. As we know of the account of the rich man who died and went to hell, he was thirsty, amen. He had all of his sins. Come right now and be refreshed with the living water, the Holy Spirit, amen. Furthermore, we see in Psalm 72, verse 6, we read, "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." The Holy Spirit, my dear friend, the Holy Spirit not only sustains life, but refreshes, amen. Also, the Bible tells us that water is free. Water is free. Look in Isaiah chapter 55 with me. Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse number 1, Isaiah 55, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." It's saying to come, amen, and drink freely. The Bible tells us, "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely," in Revelation 22:17. And in Isaiah 55:1, the Lord invited them to come and get water without price. Water is free. So is the Holy Spirit, is given to those that ask. Amen. The promise of the Holy Spirit is freely given by faith. Galatians chapter 3, in verse 14, the Bible tells us that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Holy Spirit is freely given by faith. Then lastly, in reference to water, water cleanses. Water cleanses. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, because it's a great church on the church and the relationship, the marriage between a man and a woman, amen, is a great picture or type of the church. And we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Water cleanses. We read about believers being sanctified and cleansed by the word and by the Spirit. Just as water is used to keep our bodies and clothes clean, Noah's flood cleansed the earth of all the wicked. In the same manner, the Holy Spirit makes us clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The third emblem that we want to look at is oil. Oil is a sign of consecration. Another picture of the Holy Spirit is oil. In Israel, olive oil was essential in the preparation of their daily meals. Oil was used to make cakes of manna God gave Israel in the wilderness, according to Numbers chapter 11, verse 8. And in normal times, cakes were made of flour and oil. according to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 12 through 16, and sometimes with honey, according to Ezekiel 16:13. But we want to see that oil is a sign of consecration. Oil is a sign of consecration. Look with me first in Exodus 29. Exodus chapter 29. In Exodus 29, we read, the Bible tells us, in Exodus 29, verse 7, "Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him." And of course, this is anointing of Aaron as the great high priest, amen. Consecration, setting him aside. Looking in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4 with me, verse 18. This Jesus is speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Jesus saying, the Holy Spirit of God, like oil, has anointed me for a purpose. Has set me aside, has separated me for a particular purpose, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And of course he goes on, he says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So oil is a sign of consecration. In the Old Testament, olive oil was used as a type of consecration, and it is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that consecrates a man to God. Looking in Exodus again. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40 with me. In Exodus chapter number 40, in verses 9 through 16, "And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shall hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver in his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. Thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. Thus did Moses, according to all the Lord commanded him, so did he." So we see then that the tabernacle itself, amen, was anointed with oil, and all that was in there. Also Aaron and his sons were anointed with oil, and it was a type of consecration, setting them apart. Setting them apart from the world as to minister, to be a go-between, amen, intercede for the people of God, amen. As he says here, God tells Moses that thou shalt anoint them in verse 15 as thou did anoint the father, that they may minister unto me, so that Aaron and his sons would also minister unto God. But it was a setting aside. And let me give you some other references. We won't look at them right now, but just for your own study, you can read more about the use of olive oil or oil for anointing in Leviticus chapter 8 and verses 1 through 10. And then, as a little bit of a study, look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. In verses 1 and 2, and compare that with Luke 4:18. In fact, we just read for Luke 4:18, and we see that Jesus was quoting from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. We also want to see about oil, and we, as related to the Holy Spirit, as an emblem of the Holy Spirit, oil is a symbol of comfort. Oil is a symbol of comfort. Look at an Isaiah. Isaiah with me. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter number 61 with me. Isaiah 61. Verse number 3. Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So he's talking about he would give unto them the oil of joy for those that are mourning, to comfort them. So oil was to comfort them, amen. The oil of joy is given instead of mourning. We read about, speaking of the anointing of Jesus Christ, in Psalm 45, verse 7, it says, God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Also, notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 9, the oil of gladness. Again. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 26, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. So we see then oil is a symbol of comfort, as the Holy Spirit is the comforter, amen. Well, we're going to stop there. This ends lesson number 4. We have a couple of other comments that we want to, points we want to make, oil, and we'll be picking that up in lesson number 5.